Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable once again as we gather together for our book pick segment, which we present each and every Tuesday. We've been doing this since the beginning of this program, which we started, I don't know, 18 years ago. And it's always been an essential part of the roundtable where we meet independent booksellers who tell us about great books that are on the shelves that people should be aware of, and to give them an idea of what's happening in the giant world of books and letters.
That they can see when they walk into the store.
That's right. That's right. One of our favorite booksellers is Matt Tannenbaum. He is the proprietor of The Bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. He joins us every so often to come on in and to tell us, here are books that you probably have never heard of.
I got a couple of them for you today.
Okay, all right. And but also things that maybe are on your radar, maybe aren't on your radar, and you sit down and you say, wow, these are absolutely great, beautiful, terrific books for this time of year, and that is whenever this time of year is.
Do I dare to tell you the secret of how we display our books?
I'm all for secrets. You know that.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you then.
I want you to tell me the secret.
By color.
Oh, so blue, red, green.
Yeah, something that so there's not two blue ones together. And every once in a while this happens in the springtime or in a new season, five publishers all have the same design or the same color or very similar colors. You look in the store. We did this a few weeks ago. We had three or four blue books all next to each other. What do they all go out for lunch the previous fall?
So now you have me wondering, Matt, is this how you choose the books that you bring in here as well?
Well, let's see.
Round up the red ones. Come on in.
I once had to sell about 20 feet of blue books to a client in a secondhand bookstore.
What do you mean 20 feet of
20
books?
Feet. She wanted 20 board feet of books to fill up her library.
I got you. All right.
Fancy. I don't think anybody ever read it.
Did you give you swatches to match the book covers too?
The first one's a blue one.
Yes.
But she's wearing the woman on the cover is wearing a red jacket.
Well, it is. It's a book by a politician, so of course it's red, white, and blue.
It is red, white, and blue. Yes. The letters is white. The letters are white. She's wearing red, and the book is "This Fight Is Our Fight: The Battle to Save America's Middle Class" by Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Yes.
And the book just came in. We got advance notice that the book was coming. When did we hear about this? About 2 months ago when someone suggested that he was going to go and see Elizabeth and maybe suggest that she come to Lenox and sign books. We haven't heard. So right. That would be cool. But this is a book that would be cool.
Throw that out there, but yeah. Sure, yeah.
So this is her book. Her last book was, what was her last book called? A Fighting Chance. So she's a fighter. And she's fighting in the Senate, and this is a book that describes the battle to defeat and demoralize and destroy the middle class. That's been going on since the New Deal came about in the 30s, and the opponents have been trying to get rid of it ever since in various different ways. Trump is just one more line in the line. She starts, have you seen the book, Joe? Have you seen it yet?
I don't believe that I have. Thank you for sharing.
She starts by saying by talking about a Senate hearing, like one of the first hearings she went to as a senator, and she was sitting way over on the side. She knew seniority, juniority, you know, she was going to sit way over there, and she got a couple of licks in, but not too much. And at the end, somebody asked Lamar Alexander about the minimum wage, and he said something like, "I wouldn't care if there wasn't any," and that just shocked her.
Dems fighting words.
And she remembers as a kid, her mother had to go to work after dad lost his job, and she got a job paying minimum wage, and it was the only thing that saved them. So you start right out with one of these. It's not a tearjerker story, but it's a real story. And then she goes and she tells other stories about other constituents. But the first one was about herself, and it just really knocked me out. And then she goes on to describe the various methods by which people in power keep their power by making other people have less power.
I believe it was in the late 80s, but one of my early journalism jobs was just for a week to follow Lamar Alexander as he barnstormed the state of New Hampshire for the New Hampshire primaries when he was running for president.
Well, was he running for president?
Yeah.
I don't follow that
stuff. He had a plaid shirt. He wore a plaid shirt everywhere. That was the big thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was... yeah. Well, that's a very cool story and a very neat book. It's called This Fight Is Our Fight. Elizabeth Warren, The Battle to Save America's Middle Class. Next up.
Next, light blue. Different blue. Faded
right.
blue.
Faded blue. A little bit an older photograph.
Kind of, it's an older photograph. It's sepia in blue. Uh-oh, we're going down the rabbit hole here.
Was that a rejected Gershwin title, by the way, Sepia and Blue?
This is a biographical study called Let Us Watch Richard Wilbur by Robert Begg and Mary Begg. And Richard Wilbur is our local poet laureate. He was the poet laureate of America when it was called the poet of the Library of Congress, I think. He and his neighbor, his one-time neighbor, his late neighbor, William J. Smith from Cummington, Mass., were the early poet laureates of America. So this is the first biography. This is the first biography and biographical study of Wilbur's life. He is in his mid-90s now. I think he's not teaching. He's being honored every which way. This begins with a prologue by Mary Begg, which states, Richard Wilbur published his first book of poems, The Beautiful Changes, in 1947. He was 26 years old. So now he's 96, so it's, give me the math, 70 years
ago, yeah.
Reviewing the book for The New Yorker, the American poet Louise Bogan, who was also an acute critic, concluded with the prediction, let us watch Richard Wilbur. He is composed of valid ingredients. Mm. And Wilbur's poetry, and he's also known for his translation of French drama and French poetry, especially Molière. He did a lot of the Molière translations that have been staged. So Wilbur, in the book, we find out that Wilbur, besides being a poet, besides being a teacher, he was a longtime teacher, at Amherst, and was involved in the productions of his translations of the Molière plays. And there's a funny line in here where you find out that Richard and his wife, Charlie, used to talk about Molière as if he was in The Godfather. They used to call him Molière. Hey, Molière. So, fun things in this book, and it's a beautiful book, and it's Mary Begg and Robert Begg will be at the Lenox Library later this summer.
Oh, that's great.
There was an event in Cummington about a couple of weeks ago, and we want to do another event because too many people missed that one. So it'll be in the Lenox Library this summer.
All right.
Next is Inspiring Courage by Barbara Bonner. Do you know this book?
I do not.
This is a commonplace book. Do you know what a commonplace book? Have we talked about that?
I also do not know that. You're stumping me.
Oh, no, I don't want to. No. Here's a commonplace book is a book that all writers... make up at some point in their career. It's a book of quotes. It's a book of stories or poems or references that they need. That John Milton made up a commonplace book. There was an Italian word for it, and I can't pronounce it on the air, so I won't try. Virginia Woolf had a commonplace book. Sandy McClatchy had a great commonplace book that came out last fall. These are books of Inspiring Courage is Barbara's second of these kinds of books. Her first one a couple of years ago was called Inspiring Generosity. So these are quotes, these are poems, these are stories about, in this case, courage. And it's a guy came in the other day, last Saturday afternoon, said, hey, my daughter is in the hospital. She's kind of got a spiritual bent. Got anything for me? Inspiring Courage just popped right off the shelf for him. And we gift-wrapped it, and so he took it right away. It's a beautiful book published by Wisdom Publications.
It's red.
It's red. It's orangish.
Okay.
All right. Now we're going to...
Yes.
We shouldn't have started that way. Yes, we should have. It's fun. Okay, this next one is a little white book, and it's called For This We Left Egypt, A Passover Haggadah for Jews and Those Who Love Them, by Dave Barry, Ellen Y. Bell, Adam Mansbach. Ellen Y. Bell and Adam Mansbach are Jewish. Dave Barry
is not.
Knows people who are Jewish.
Now, what am I doing wrong here, though?
No.
The book does not open on the right. It opens on the left.
Right. It's a Haggadah, and books in Hebrew open from right to left.
I understand. You know, but this is...
This has some Hebrew and some English, but it's written, it's published as a Haggadah with funny illustrations. Here's my warning on this book. And we sold maybe 60 or 70 copies of this book in the last 5 weeks since we got it in, just before Passover. We just missed it for our radio audience today. You know, it's too late for this year's Passover, but come by and take a look at this book. But before you open it, my warning is, pee first, because it is very, very funny. There is sections, Joe. There's a section on how Moses was saved. You know, Moses was hidden by his parents because they heard that the Pharaoh wanted to kill all the Jewish male babies, so they hid him. And then after 3 months because the Pharaoh was going to throw all the male babies into the Nile, so they hid him in the Nile. But as the authors say, it was an ancient Egyptian car seat, so it was safe. And the Pharaoh's daughter happened to be bathing that day, and she saw the baby and said, "Oh, look, a little baby. No one seems to be around. Maybe I'll take him home." Moses' sister was watching from the reeds, came out and volunteered to help and also provide her mother, who would be the wet nurse. So the Pharaoh's daughter went for a swim, and she came home with a baby and two domestic servants. Imagine, the authors say, what she would have done with a credit card. This is a very funny book.
Matt's doing this without notes, I would like to tell you. I have to say, I would love to know the story of how these three gentlemen got together. Now, we all know Dave Barry, a wonderful humor columnist who wrote a column for years and now is basically writing books.
Writing novels,
humor,
right.
Humor books and novels, right?
And kids' books, right.
Alan Zweibel was Gilda Radner's writer. She was one of the original writers of Saturday Night Live. He was the man almost single-handedly responsible, along with Gary Shandling, for the It's the Gary Shandling Show, which was a classic.
Right.
And he is a great writer, a wonderful, wonderful human being. And then Adam Ansbach is the guy who wrote the book Go the Blank to Sleep for Kids.
That's right.
Not for kids. It's adults, but it's a kid's book.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned it. I wasn't sure if I could.
That's fantastic.
These three guys, I heard about the book way back in maybe November, December, and forgot about it. And luckily, Michael, who does the front list ordering for us now, remembered to put it on the order, and it came in just in the nick of time.
Good stuff. All right.
Last book. Michael also ordered a book that I didn't know was back in print, and it's by Christopher Morley. And I don't have the copy that's published by Melville House with me today. This is my old copy from Lippincott, Parnassus on Wheels by Christopher Morley. There was a companion book that he wrote called The Haunted Bookshop. These are books about bookstores. These are books about... Here's what the professor who runs Parnassus on Wheels, which is a horse and buggy traveling bookstore in New England in the 1910s. A good book, he says, ought to have something simple about it. And like Eve, it ought to come from somewhere near the third rib. There ought to be a heart beating in it. I don't think I can get in trouble saying that.
No, you're
Christopher
right.
Morley is one of my inspirations as a writer. He was a patron of the Gotham Bookmart long before I was there. And his book, Parnassus on Wheels, when I opened it up and reread it this week, I realized that he had written the dedication to the booksellers. And that's what I did when I put my little memoir together. I must have taken it from him.
We have 45 seconds. What else would you
like
to tell
us? We got events. A lot of events coming in. Oh, my screen went blank. In May and June, Laird White is coming a week from Saturday. We have... Who else? You're going to be at the Mount a couple times this summer.
Courtney
we provide
Mom,
the books.
Jim Shepard.
Right. Nina Gilder will be there as well. Who else do we have? Sheila Nevins is the author of You Don't Look Your Age and Other Fairy Tales. She'll be at BIFF in Great Barrington in early June. We'll be providing books for that as well.
So if we look at the books, bookstoreinlenox.com, bookstoreinlenox.com, you can find out all the information there of all the cool events with dates, times, and all pertinent information.
So what did I have for you? Four books that you didn't hear about.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. Knew
about
Elizabeth Warren.
I like that, yes.
Right, but four new ones. All right.
You're always surprising me. Matt Tenenbaum is with the Bookstore in Lenox. Again, bookstoreinlenox.com. Matt, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.